News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 19th of June, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people with multiple eardrums, you're
just
listening.
Just get the wax out of your ear.
Holy cow, that's a little loud now. Wowie. The crack master, Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen, has been
finally found the right button to push.
Playing around with the board. I think he's just angry with us for the last few weeks.
I wasn't here last week. What did you guys do? Really?
Well, first, I think we should let people know who we are. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And crack, the crack master.
Those are a little louder. But...
Rob Linton, yeah, they are a little louder. For last week, we spoke. That's right. You've been gone for 2 weeks.
No, I've been gone 1 week.
You've been Rob was gone 2 weeks, and it's been pleasant. I mean, it's been quiet.
Whoa.
Here, very quiet here. That hurt, didn't it?
That me too, Rob.
Sure it would. Sure it would. 2 weeks ago, of course, we do a poll every week, as you know. 2 weeks ago, the poll was Robert F. Linton III's middle name. The winning entry was Farley, by the way.
Farley?
Farley. Followed by some other F word. Followed by Frodo. But we still aren't quite sure. I have my belief.
Oh.
As to what his middle name
is. Share your belief.
Based on, because it's based on the way he reacted when I said it.
Ah.
So I'm pretty sure I know what your middle name is now.
Oh,
Franklin.
Man.
Oh yeah, no. Right. You would have said
bingo!
That.
Bingo! I think we hit a live one, folks.
It doesn't matter.
What's wrong
it's
with
Farley.
Franklin?
According to no, it's Farley now. I don't care what it was. The
with all due respect. With all due respect.
Since when did we get into respect?
No respect whatsoever.
Even if you guys did guess it. Like, I want 250,000 people to know my full name. I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, whatever.
All right. But
well, if anyone down at the Social Security office is listening.
Then I got a really good lawsuit on my hands. So, yes, please, do call.
No, We do not know Rob's middle name, but consensus, the Soundbites public has spoken, and it is now Farley. It's Farley.
No.
It is.
No.
Robert Farley Linton III.
That's ridiculous sounding. I'm sorry.
Excuse me, the other choice was some other F word.
Frodo.
Would you prefer Frodo?
Frodo sounds like a dog's name.
Frodo, are you completely illiterate? Have you never read Lord of the Rings?
I have not.
You got to remember, Nick. We're older. He is a lot.
He's a lot younger. That's right.
I mean, I probably got socks older than him.
Yeah, and you're wearing them, as far as I can tell from here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Now, the really disconcerting thing.
We didn't wear the old shirt.
There's that.
If you go to Google and search for Robert F. Linton, you come up with the Ask Nick opinion page.
Really?
That's the number one hit.
That's the number one. You're Googled.
You've been Googled.
Let me just say how frightening that is.
But how proud your mom is.
Well, see, the weird thing is number two is a guy named Craig Litton who has a Robert F. Kennedy Jr. webpage.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, he's not sure which is more frightening now.
Yeah, really.
All right, listen, we're going to go to the news first, and I think we'll start with Steve.
Well, Apple had a big announcement this past week in London. Basically, what everyone was expecting almost happened. Apple has announced the iTunes Music Store for the UK, France, and Germany, with a store for the entire European Union coming in October. The music is priced at 99 euros for France and Germany, and 79 pence for the UK, which is actually a little higher than a 99 euro or 99 cent translation. It's about $1.40 or so. So for some reason, the UK has got more taxes, apparently. to have a little higher song tracks. 700,000 songs in the catalog, with the represented by the five major record companies and dozens of independent labels. So it's interesting to see how Apple is pushing against the rest of the world. One of Apple's music rivals, Napster LLC, opened their UK store on May 20th. They've yet to finalize any other European stores. And their iPod, Apple's iPod, has gotten a 17% global unit sales since last December in portable music players. So it's really a big coup for Apple to have such a amazing hardware and the way they've got their iTunes and iPod and the music store working together. Basically, they're saying that in the U.S. market, the iTunes has a 70% share of all legal downloads. U.K., France, and Germany has 67% of European music sales. So it's those three companies are more than two-thirds of the entire sales of Europe. Of illegally downloaded music. So it was a good thing for Apple to bring out these major companies first, or countries first. So it's interesting to see how much it's going to be as the rest of the European Union gets brought online. And one of the big problems that that faces Apple and all the other legal downloading services is the monetary units. So it's not worrying about conversions and disbursements between all the different countries. So the European Union makes a good central point to start with. Then we have to worry about the former Soviet Union and all the smaller republics along there and how to distribute into them. One of the things that is upsetting people is Canada doesn't have the iTunes music service yet. It's possible they'll be added as part of the European Union with their British ancestry and ties to Britain. But basically what we're seeing in Canada is that there are already Canadian laws dealing with music. And it's very strict in terms of distributing music and favors in favor of the artist. And pretty much now all blank tapes sold in Canada, there's an extra tax on it that goes directly to artists who they assume you're making illegal copies of their music of. So Canada's already worked out a lot of this in the analog music realm already. And we're a little surprised that they haven't done anything for the digital music yet.
Okay, sorry, I was just trying to...
No, you're focusing on...
I was trying to fix the live stream, which is apparently even more broken than I thought. So let's go to Dave for the news.
Okay, a couple things for all you folks that have been waiting. And that's for Windows XP, the Service Pack 2. You're going to have to keep on waiting. Microsoft was asked again just on June 15th. When can we expect to see Service Pack 2? Because Service Pack 2 is supposed to, have a number of different features added to it, like it's a newer browser, email safeguards, enhanced memory protection, and other features. But they're saying it's still coming, so it's Christmas, but, we'll wait and see. And I guess I'd rather have them, take their time and get it right. Because I hate being a beta tester, because on another news article, they found another four holes in Internet Explorer. And, this is always going to go on. So even once they get Service Pack 2 out, I guarantee you, I'll make this bet right now, not a week goes by, once people start getting Service Pack 2 in, that they find even more holes with that to get into, and you're going to find out patches for the Service Pack 2 coming up.
Although at some point, you just have to finalize the code and ship the stupid thing.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, these folks that have no life, that's the only way I can describe it. It's right up there with the virus writers. They literally have no life because they don't get paid for this. It's not like they draw a paycheck or anything. But to sit there and waste that time, money, and effort that they could be out earning something to, just hack in and try to say, oh, well, I created this or that. It's not like we can broadcast their name. So, put that talent to better use. I still think Microsoft should hire a few of them so they could make, these guys could actually make some money. One other thing, though, I wanted to point out, Rochester, whether you folks know it or not, I know it was mentioned in the news maybe a couple weeks ago, we're going to be put on the map this week. Not only with the Fast Ferry and that, that launched its official debut today for the regular non-elites, But Rochester is now hosting what they call, through the Harley-Davidson owner group, which is an American-made company. What they call the Great Lakes Tour. We're going to have here, and folks, in Rochester, so you're going to probably see a few more bikes around, but over 1,200 people coming from all over the United States. I've seen some reports, some folks coming from Texas. And they're all going to start arriving in town this Monday. I'll be over at Cycle Stop helping to meet and greet them. But we're going to have over 1,200 people just visiting the Great Lakes area.
Cool.
Because Harley finally found out, yeah, we got a lot of great stuff up here.
We do.
You know, the
including sound bites. They should come in on a Saturday.
Well, they'll be taking off. They're on the road probably right now, heading up here, because they're doing sometime on Monday, but they're going to be staying down there. They're going to have a big party. If folks want to see a lot of unique bikes and that, at Jillian's on that Thursday night. But, you know, it's just a way of Rochester to put its best foot forward again and make it a great place for folks to come and see and do things.
Cool. Very, yeah. Very cool. All right. In the in Internet news, a lot of the Internet service providers, starting with Comcast, by the way, they're starting to block port 25 on systems on their networks that appear to be spammers. Now, for those of you who don't know what port 25 is, whenever you set up a service on your system, if you set up a server at home, for example, you open various ports to do things. For example, when you connect to a website, you
this
do that
on
the port
hub.
80, right?
This
right. Right on their router or hub, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. If you connect to mail, that's done through port 25. And what they're finding is that a lot of the spammers that are out there are doing that through their home system, sending out tens of thousands of emails through the Comcast system. So what they're saying is they're going to start blocking port 25, which means that people won't be able to run home mail servers. They'll have to get an outside mail service. And then when you connect with your mail client to the server, that's different. But in terms of running your own server, you won't be able to do it, at least not on port 25. Obviously, that's kind of silly because you can just pick another port. And as long as both ends understand that port, that port you're using, you're good. So it's an interesting little thing.
And locally, Roadrunner Terms of Service, we ran into this, you know, years ago when they came out. Roadrunner's Terms of Service don't allow you to run a server on your computer. For residential Roadrunner, you can on business Roadrunner.
Right.
So they've been blocking port 25 residentially for years.
Right.
The problem that a lot of people are running into is in sending mail from their computer up to the Roadrunner mail server. I had a client this week that ran into this. Roadrunner servers do automatic spam checking, and it's probably common on a lot of ISPs. And they were saying that they were told that the magic number is 1,000. If you send 1,000 emails a day, Roadrunner will shut off your email service.
Right.
And then wait till tomorrow, wait 24 hours, open it back up again and see if you're still sending messages.
Right.
So that is combating spam and combating any viruses that you may have gotten accidentally that send out mail too.
Right. The big thing is that most of the spam virus programs use port 25.
Right.
So by blocking that, you close it off. That's something I ran into with AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Thank you. And I send out well more than 1,000 messages every time I send a message 3 times a week. So I had to write code up on the AskNick server to send out the mail from there, where, you know, Jerry's connected to the backbones and blah, 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 and he's the guy. So that works out pretty nicely. Speaking of spammers and other lowlifes, there's a fellow who a lot of people write free Trojan. They write script kits where you can, you know, you don't have to be smart enough to write a virus. You just grab one of these kits, these scripts, and massage it to do what you want and send it out. Well, the guy who wrote one of these kits apparently had a little explaining to do this week, as the people who use it find out that he had put a backdoor into his script so that he could retake over all the systems that other people were taking over, and they were all angry with him.
So people who are trying to break into computers are mad that their computer is getting broken into.
Well, the computers that they broke into already could be taken over by this other guy instead of them. So they're all angry at the loss of good faith, at the loss of community and camaraderie that they're facing.
It's getting to be you can't do it anymore.
Dishonesty
illegal anymore.
Dishonesty amongst thieves.
Exactly. If you can't trust a thief, who can you trust? So the rest of us are all pretty amused about that, that the spammer, the backdoor script kiddies are all getting backdoored. The author, whose code name, by the way, is Sleaze.
Well, here's your first clue.
Right. And now
you think so?
In his defense, he said, I have never directly denied the existence of a master password.
Well, he should be an appropriate. Yeah.
He should work for our government.
Yeah.
I think he's,
maybe he is a politician somewhere.
Right, exactly. He's saying that, the whole reason I did this is now, let's say the FBI is after me. Well, I'll go into the back door and turn off all those systems so that when the FBI goes to find them, they're not there anymore. And that'll keep us all safe. Oh, yeah.
Looking out for you.
And, of course, the mouth breathers who write this stuff probably believe him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Black hats.
Mm-hmm. Men in black.
Helicopters. Black helicopters in the middle of the night. Now, and before we move on, I just have to say, happy birthday, Mo Howard. Yes, it is the birthday of Mo Howard, number one stooge. He was born on this date in 1897, which would make this his 107th birthday, if in fact he were still around, which he's not. I saw him live. I saw the Stooges live when I was a kid. I couldn't possibly have been more thrilled. Cool. We were actually at Southtown Plaza.
Really?
On a live show. It was so cool. Well, listen, the nostalgia's over. We're going to go and do some commercials, little economic dramas, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites.
Wow. Rush Limbaugh.
Folks, just keep listening to this program. If you want to understand reality and truth and life and all these sorts of things, you want to have an accurate portrayal.
These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. And we are going to go to many of you apparently consider, wrongly, to be the most important part of the show. I personally think it's the banter amongst us, but that's okay. It's the calls. We're going to go to the calls now.
What was number one?
The calls.
We'll talk
about that later.
But bantering was
number three.
Yeah,
apparently they don't want us to talk anymore. Well, the heck with you, we're going to do it anyway. And we're going to go to the phones now and talk to George from Geneseo, New York. Not that we're bitter or anything. Hi, George, what's up?
Hi there. The bantering is great, by the way.
Thank you. That's what I like. Sure, he's got to ask a question. He wants us to be on our good side.
Yes, right.
What's your question, George?
Well, I guess I'll preface my question by saying that I installed Norton Internet Security 2004 about a month ago, and it's been working fine and no problems whatsoever. A couple days ago, I did a Windows XP. I did a system restore to a point a couple weeks ago. I was trying to clear up a skipping problem that I've got with listening to Live 365, which had just developed, and I thought maybe it was a Windows update that had done it or something.
Yeah, I have to tell you right now, that's really unlikely. It's probably just the congestion on the Internet, which is horrible.
Anyway, it didn't solve the problem, obviously, and so I undid the restore, and everything was fine, and I was scratching my head thinking maybe I just need to go back farther, and I did to a point the month before, and again, it didn't solve the problem. When I undid it this time, however, when the computer rebooted, the first thing I noticed was that I didn't have the Norton Internet Security.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, I also don't have things like, well, the system restore is gone, the help and support is gone, the search function is gone, and there may be some other stuff as well that I don't know about. So I'm kind of at a loss to know what to do.
If you go back to one of your earlier restore points, do they come back?
Well, I can't. If I click on the system restore, yeah. I get a blank, a white window. It says system restore, but just a white window.
So you're, because that, the point that you restored it to, the restore had been already turned off, so it won't give you the calendar that you can go backwards to.
Yeah, I get nothing. I have no way to access it. I tried starting it up in safe mode, seeing if I could access it that way, and I get the same thing. Oh, if, system information, that's another thing I don't have.
Let me suggest, you running XP?
Yeah.
Open up a command window, a DOS window.
Okay.
They don't call them that anymore, of course, because it hasn't been DOS in about 10 years. But if you open up a command window, a DOS window, and type SFC, short for System File Checker.
Okay.
It'll show you a whole bunch of choices. The one you really want is /scan now, all one word. So if you type SFC space /scan now,
mm-hmm.
It'll check all of your system files and replace the ones that have been damaged or changed.
Uh-huh.
Now, what that, two things that that means.
Mm-hmm.
First, you have to have your original CD.
Yes.
Just to be certain, because it may ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it now means you probably have to redo a whole bunch of Windows updates.
Okay.
Yep.
But once you do that, you should be mostly good to go. Now, the caveat here is that that only updates Microsoft products. So you may find yourself in the position of having to uninstall and reinstall Norton and a couple of other things that are not.
And the other
Microsoft
thing is, if that doesn't fix the problem, he can put his original CD in and do an install of XP over XP.
Well, it's a two CD restore CD is what I've got, and it
problem.
Looks like it formats the hard drive.
Yes.
I don't think I can install over the top.
Yeah, I hate those.
Oh,
I hate those.
Yeah.
Because it's a binary solution. You know, it's all or nothing. Your system runs perfectly, right? Or you reinstall everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way. I went on a rampage there for a while because Dell and Gateway and a number of the other companies were just having folks, you know, they get a virus. Well, their answer was put in the original CD and just do a complete restore. And
that's
folks go, okay, and they did, and then all of a sudden realized any documentation or anything else, because it formats the drive and puts it back to the day you brought it out of the box, your information is gone.
Although oftentimes it ends up being easier and quicker to do a restore than it does to trace down errors for hours and hours.
Yes, as long
errors.
As you know that you've backed up everything twice and checked the restore to make sure the backup was good and yada, yada, yada. Most people don't know that. But anyway, those are your two choices.
Choices.
Yeah, I know. Try SFC and see if that solves your problem.
I will try that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Excellent. Good luck. Man, I so incredibly detest those restore disks.
I had one poor client. We got to go to a break.
We're going to go to we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more of Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Robert F. Linton III. Thank you, Farley. And Mean It Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
To 1180 or the Choice One toll free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites, and our next caller is Gary from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's your question? Gary, are you there? Talk to me, Gary. Hello? Okay. Who are we now? We're talking to Andrew?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Andrew. What's your question?
Thank you. I'm calling for a friend who has a Gateway computer about 2 years old.
Oh, the old...
Hey, I'm calling
friend.
For a friend. It's
friend,
not for
wink,
me.
Wink.
No, I'm smart. It's my friend.
Yep.
With XP, and she had a serious virus and was told to use the install... the recovered disk.
Ow! Didn't we just do this? Yeah.
I know. She called up Gateway and they said, I'm sorry, you'll have to buy a new computer.
Excuse me?
That's the best one you've heard all day?
Oh, that's
no,
good.
I like that.
See, this is the problem, and I blame my parents for this.
Oh, dude.
I am far too ethical and honest to work for a computer dealer anymore. I'm sorry, at that level, because I know you sell them, Steve sells them, and you guys are good.
No way.
It's the only reason I work with you guys, is because otherwise I wouldn't do it.
I'm
sorry, you have a virus, you have to buy a new computer? Really, we're in the wrong business.
Evidently, I am.
Actually, that's better now than a dead battery. Which is something broken in the hardware. Dead
right,
battery,
true.
New computer.
Yeah. Dead battery, new computer, that makes sense to me. Dirty ashtrays, new car, I understand that. But virus, you can remove that.
Yes.
Hello? Oh, my God in heaven. Okay, go on.
Anyway, I'm just wondering how you could, if you can point me to a place where I can buy a recover disc, and or do you think that if I talk to the right person at Gateway for this lady, they'll figure out some $15 or $30 charge to send her
well,
your recovery
let's
disc?
Start, let's
well,
start
wait a minute.
Here.
She
Hold
should
on.
Have gotten the recovery disc with it.
Right. You can't buy a computer without some version of Windows coming with it. If they did that, it's illegal.
Yeah, so amongst
She lost it.
All right, here's what you can do.
Well, okay, now I might be able to see their point now. You'd have to go to the store, buy a new copy of Windows, which is $200.
No.
A new full copy. Because
why can't
it's less than $200.
Disk from, why won't Gateway just sell her a new restore disk?
Because they don't support old machines that way.
Okay.
She's running Windows XP?
Yes.
You can get XP Home Edition, full-blown version, for around $120.
I was thinking Pro.
Yeah, right. And then that way, what you do, now this is going to take...
Well, and see, part of their issue there is that when you can buy a new computer for $300, that would include everything she's missing
anyway.
Right. Why spend $300 fixing the old
one?
But
she does need some version of XP. The Home Edition is probably the least expensive at this point.
Yes, I agree.
So that would do it. And in terms of the virus, of course, she should dance the Security Tango at securitytango.com.
Well, if she's got to put in the OS, it's going to have to, you know,
right.
But if she's just got the virus, she should be able to remove that and be fine.
Well,
doesn't have to do a total restore to get rid of the
virus. That's what I'm saying.
But
a lot of
companies
will sell you old replacement discs for $20, $30. I'm surprised Gateway won't.
But the thing that is, though, is if they won't, a lot of places are starting to get that. I just had a client drop one off this morning from HP. They said, well, you were supposed to, in this hidden partition, make your own, burn your own CD of it. They didn't, so now they're hosed and they got to redo it. Right. You got to try to get the data off of it.
Well, and that's part of the problem with the proprietary systems is you often find that they're not supporting old machines because they want you to buy a new machine.
And old is last week.
Yeah.
But one thing that's in his advantage, either Gateway or Dell right now, is if they go ahead and put the Windows in,
okay, and
then they get into the Internet, they can put their number on the back of their machine into the system like Gateway or Dell.
Right, right.
And it tells them what video cards and everything else should be there for their machine.
Right.
And they can re-download all the video drivers and anything else they need for that.
Right.
So would you suggest their website then?
Maybe you still need a new version. You still need to buy Windows if. Now, where does this machine sit right now? It has the virus on it?
Some nice guy from Time Warner came over and removed the 19 viruses.
Okay.
But he was trying to help her get her computer back running, and he said, you need to restore this.
Okay, whatever you... I can't... You're
breaking
up.
He won't need to restore this to do some of that. I mean, that stuff we do all the time. I mean, if you can get the system up and running... You know, as long as it's running, then you can get other patches and that off the web.
But you still, at some point, are going to need... And, of course, once he gets XP, if it's a different serial number, he's got to do a reinstall anyway.
And an install disk is much better to have than a restore disk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, I think, where you stand. And I'm afraid we have to go now back after the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If you... Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. I got to pass this critical tip on.
Yeah.
I mean, as you folks know, I offer a tip every week off of our webpage. But this is one I'm going to give to you and heed it.
Critical.
Yes, this is very critical.
Write it down.
There is a certain individual, which we won't mention names, that is on WHAM throughout the weekend. And he happened to call both Nick and I with a particular dilemma. Said victim had a child that spilled fluid or liquid onto a laptop
specifically
keyboard.
I believe a laptop, soda.
Yes, onto a laptop keyboard. The child decided, well, we can fix this, and grabbed the hairdryer and put the hairdryer right to the keys. This caused two problems. One, the keys melted right on up, making it harder to type, and now you can't close the keyboard, and rendering the computer useless unless you hook up an external keyboard.
Right.
So if you do spill anything on it, folks, do not, or if you're going to take a hairdryer to it, do not put it up close.
And don't put it on high. What do they have, one of those 1,500-watt jobbies?
Probably.
Just if, even if you try to get it down there, you know, resting it on the keys to get around underneath the keys, thinking, oh, it'll get up underneath.
Well, soda's bad because it's sticky.
It's sticky.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you dried it. It's still going to leave sugar residue.
I've heard for years, I haven't had the heart to test it yet, I've heard for years, though, that you can take a keyboard and run it through the dishwasher on a gentle cycle.
Well,
and then let it dry for a week.
100 years ago, back when I sold computers for a living, we sold Osborne's and Apple IIs. And often we would have people come in with something that had been spilled, keyboard, soda, crumbs, whatever. And Ed Lattimore, nothing taken away from you guys, but the greatest technician on earth, Ed Lattimore used to take those keyboards out. He kept a pot of soapy water. And he'd dip them for an hour or two, and then he'd put them in clear water, and then he'd let them sit for a weekend to dry. And Ed, now, the reason I say this is because in those days, I didn't know you guys. People could come into our shop screaming because they'd done something wrong, right? I mean, it was
next
never...
Next one, keyboards were more expensive, too.
Exactly. We're talking about $100 for a keyboard.
Yeah.
So they'd come in ranting and raving and screaming and yelling about something, and if it was a hardware-related issue, we'd send them into the back room with Ed. I don't know what he did back there, drug them, pay them, I don't know. They'd come out happier than any... Oh, it's Ed. You know, they would go, I have to fill it. I have to have this back in 4 minutes. I'm running my life. They come back out. Yeah, Ed said he'll get to it sometime next week. It'll be okay. No, I'm fine. Everything will be good. He's going to get to it as soon as he can.
Well,
you know, he works hard. He's a good guy. And I used to think he's got to be drugging them.
Well, it's like the little kid who wasn't doing well in math class. So his parents sent him to Catholic school, hoping the nuns would be able to get some discipline into him.
And
comes home after the first week, gets an A on his math test. And their parents are all proud. Yeah, that school's doing good. And kid says, yeah, when I saw that guy nailed on the plus sign, I figured they meant business.
Yeah. Boom, boom. Okay, that was Steve Ray, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are now praying for his immortal soul.
So math teachers and Catholic nuns and who else have I just annoyed?
Yeah, right. You pretty well hit a good spectrum there. If only you could have said something, you could have worked in killing trees to that or pets. That would have been...
Well, nailed to the wooden plus sign if someone chopped the tree down.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's it. We're good. All right. Every week, as you know, we do a poll here on our website. Last week's poll... was about what is your favorite part of Soundbites. 298 of you voted, making it number 64 on the all-time hit list. We'd like to thank each and every one of you individually for that. The number one choice, 44% of you like the calls best, followed by 31% of you liking the news. Only 16% of you like the banter amongst us. Okay. Followed by the poll, 3%, reviews, 3%, guests, 2%. A measly 4 of you like the trivia, which is one of the reasons we haven't done it again.
Maybe we got to do more bantering?
No, they don't like the banter. They like the calls. They don't like the news.
We don't do enough.
They don't like us. That's the problem. They don't like us. Okay, I'm going to remember that. Okay. But no, seriously, that was our poll of the week. This week's poll. It's another news item. Microsoft is offering their own antivirus product that will compete against Symantec's Norton products or Network Associate Inc.'s McAfee products. Microsoft is developing software to protect personal computers running Windows against malicious software, worms, and viruses that have plagued users with data loss, shutdown, and disruptions in web traffic. We're still planning to offer our own AV or antivirus product.
The product is probably going to be as good as that system that I love and behold.
Yeah, Windows ME.
It'll be right up there with it, folks.
Here's the best part about this. As you know, Microsoft doesn't often actually write their own software. They acquire it from somewhere else. And they acquired their antivirus technology from GCAD Software, a Romanian software company. We'll be running Romanian antivirus software soon. And, of course, this all goes in with the company-wide trustworthy computing campaign.
Oh, yeah.
Although they gave no time frame for the release of this product, we here at Soundbites thought it would be important to get your opinion on the Microsoft antivirus software. The choices that you have are... All right, here we go. The choices are, golly, I just can't wait, sure, it's free and I'm lazy, and not on your tintype. So far, 111 of you have voted. When you're done voting, head on over to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. And leave an opinion. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of your calls on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Here is Nick Francesco and...
Dave Enright.
Steve Ray.
And Rob Linton.
And we are Soundbites, and we're back to the phones now. And we are going to talk to Lori in Hamlin, New York. Welcome, Lori. What's your question?
Hi, I've got a question about, I think it's a problem with started with America Online Instant Messenger. And it happens when I'm just working on the computer, and it also happens when I start up the computer. I get directed to Microsoft Internet Explorer, and it takes me to angelfire.com. And it also brings up a program called MediaLink that it wants me to load. I did a system scan with Norton Antivirus, and it's not detecting anything. And I also did SpyBot. And it's still happening.
Yeah, the problem with what you've done is it's not a virus, so your antivirus software isn't going to check
it. Okay.
And SpyBot is one of two that you really need to run regularly, and there may be more. I'm looking into more. SpyBot is real good in the registry, but not so good with files on disk. There's another one called AdAware, which is real good with files on disk, not so good with the registry. So you really need to run them in tandem. Your best bet is to head over to securitytango.com.
Okay.
Click on the Let's Dance button and follow that from the very beginning. Don't, like any good tango, don't skip any of the steps.
Okay.
And run it right through from top to bottom, and that should help.
And one of the other key things is once you download both the SpyBot and AdAware, the first thing you want to do when you, say, you open up AdAware, there's a button there, and you want to do the same for SpyBot, is check for updates. AdAware just did another update just a couple days ago. So have it download the updated files for both of them, and then run them one at a time.
Okay.
And what you've got is commonly known as a web page redirector or a home page hijacker.
Yep.
So it has nothing to do with the AOL instant messaging?
It may have come in through AIM.
Yeah.
But you have to get rid of it with one of the other utilities.
The problem with instant messaging nowadays is that they are one of the number one vectors for getting spyware and stuff on your system.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy way to talk to 100 million people.
Yeah.
Exactly. What I've done, AOL is pretty wide open. Microsoft Instant Messenger is pretty wide open. So what I've done at work is I'm running a Jabber server. Jabber talks to everything: AOL Instant Messenger, Microsoft Yahoo, ICQ, everything, Gadoo even. And but it doesn't let you transmit files, so you can't pull a virus down from somebody.
Uh-huh.
You can set it up to do text only, so you can't get an HTML virus. But the problem is you need to be very careful who you open stuff from, what you open, and never, ever accept a file from anybody.
Okay.
Yep.
And the big problem is that a lot of these viruses and Trojans will sneak in through back doors, so you don't know you're opening a file. It just does.
Yep.
Right. And the other thing is don't have it automatically pop stuff up. Because if you're running it in HTML mode, so you get all the cute pictures and fonts and stuff, and it automatically pops something up when you get a message, you've got the virus. You're done. So what you want to do is set it, and I don't run AOL, so I don't know exactly how you do this, but you tell it, don't pop things up. I have to double-click to get a message.
Notification.
No, some sort of notification thing. And that way, you get a notification from somebody you don't know, dump it.
Yeah. Okay. So it's okay for the kids to use this instant messaging?
Well, as long as they follow these rules.
Okay.
You know, I don't know how old your kids are, how much you trust them, that sort of fair. But the deal is you should be able to use it as long as you follow these rules.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You have a good day.
You too.
It is tough right now with, you know, everybody wants to do instant messaging. It's taking over from email.
Well, and I'm hearing a lot of folks getting very frustrated because, you know, they thought, well, all right, I got the antivirus software and I'm good to go for that for a while. And now with all the spyware, it's getting to the point like, geez, you know, I'm ready to pack up this box and, you know, it's supposed to be something that's fun to use and, you know, a learning tool and all that. And I got to do all this extra maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, and they start complaining to me, and it's like, well, don't shoot the messenger. I'll clean it up. But that's the fact of life now with the Internet is you've got to do these extra steps.
You got to do them every day. And I was talking yesterday, day before, to a fellow from Homeland Security. And we're talking about security. And one of the things they mentioned in passing is that they've completely bagged any instant messenger. Cannot run them at all.
Yeah.
Because it's just easier to kill it than to try to teach people to use it right.
Mm-hmm.
Our next caller is Gene from Matheson, New York. Welcome, Gene. What's your question?
Hi, how are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. Well, I have a question. My husband recently got sick, so we put a wireless card in his computer. He's running Windows 98.
Yeah.
And he was able to get on, and now this morning, when we try to go in any of these icons, the Internet properties, screen comes up, and I checked how they showed me how to check it to make sure that there is, full internet service. But for some reason, this property screen keeps coming up.
All right, how do you connect? You're connected to wireless,
right?
What's it connected to on the other end? Is it some sort of broadband, like Roadrunner or Frontier DSL or one of those?
I believe he has AOL.
Okay, but does it come in through the cable system?
Hang on a second. Oh, it's Roadrunner. We have Roadrunner
in
the house.
All right. So Roadrunner is working, and to that you have connected a wireless router.
Yes.
Okay.
Because the Roadrunner, the other computer upstairs that's on the wire is working fine.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay, good, good. Now we know the wireless is working, the problem is his machine.
The wired, you said the machine upstairs is wired?
Yes, that's wired, and that's working fine.
All right, so the wired router is working. It may be the wireless router, or it may be the computer.
Okay.
Right. Now, here's the first step. If you take a look at the wireless router, the thing that that provides the wireless into the house.
Right.
Is that on and are the lights on? Well, no, you don't have to go now.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, first check that. If it's not, make sure it gets turned on.
Okay.
If that's on, then make sure that his card is in, I'm assuming it's in a laptop or whatever.
Yeah.
Make sure the card is in tight and that it's blinking.
Okay.
If it's not, then try pulling it out, count to five, plug it back in.
Okay.
If you count fast, count to ten. I just want to give it a few seconds to, notice it's out, reset itself.
Well, sometimes
you plug it back in, it notices it's there.
Well, sometimes you also, since it is Windows 98.
It is Windows 98.
Yeah.
You might have to shut it down, have it bring it back up.
Okay.
Now, it is Windows 98. So shut it down, pull the card out, plug it back in nice and tight, then turn the machine back on.
One other thing that you can do is if you go to Start Run, and type in winipconfig, winipcfg, and hit enter. That'll bring up a little window, and you can click on, quite often it defaults to PPP. But if you hit the little scroll down box, you'll see your network card listed there. If you select that, you'll then see what IP address that you're getting. If he's getting a 169, then that means it's messed up.
Right. It could be Windows not talking to the card. It could be the card not talking to the wireless router. It could be the wireless router not talking to the wired router.
But that's your first way to find out very quickly whether you're getting a good connection. If it's other than, 169 dot whatever, if it's 192, blah, 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 then at least you're getting a connection, and you got to do some other homework.
Right. Now, I go into this Linksys, whatever it's called.
The Linksys?
Yeah. And then he told me that as long as you see, like, these two little balls jumping back and forth to each other.
Yep.
And then I have the green signals, they're full all the way.
Yep.
Then I have a good connection. But then if I go to, I think it was link information.
Yep.
And then one of the things in there says default. Is that supposed to say default?
That's probably the name of your router connection, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Check what address he's getting, though, because that might help you narrow it down. By going to the start, run, and type WinIP config. And that'll give you some information to start from there. Because otherwise, then you got to do maybe some uninstalls, reinstalls, and that type of stuff for the network information.
Right. But you know what?
When you say the internet property screen comes up, what icon do you click on to make that happen?
Down in the bottom right hand corner, there's a little box that's like the link box.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going on there. Okay, and then it says link information, site survey, and profile.
Right, that's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to click on the Internet Explorer icon or the Netscape communicator icon.
Right.
And it should open the web browser.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm pushing, going on the start to get to that run, and it just goes up and goes right off again. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, if you open Internet Explorer, what happens?
I get that property.
But behind it, does Internet Explorer open?
No.
Does this have antivirus software on it?
Well, I'm thinking maybe
it's doing a
properties click instead of an open click. Because that will happen if you do properties on the IE icon.
Right, but if she's just double-clicking, it sounds to me like what you've got is some sort of problem with viruses.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me suggest this.
Okay.
Go to your other machine.
Uh-huh.
Go on the internet and go to securitytango.com.
Okay.
Go to the Let's Dance button, follow that straight down. Download all those programs, and I don't know if you have a CD burner or something.
Mm-hmm.
Get them over to that laptop. Those programs.
You're going to hardwire the laptop.
Install them and run them. Or hardwire the laptop to the network. See if that works.
Okay.
If you get that, run all of that, clean out your machine. That should solve most of your problems.
Okay. All right.
Nope.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Boy, I'll tell you what, when you get to something like wireless, it's tough.
But you know one problem she's going to have? She's also going to have to. She's still listening. If she just grabs Adaware and downloads it, it's got the old definition files in it.
You got to download the update files, too.
She's also got to download the updated definition file Adaware.
So probably the easiest thing is going to be to hardwire the laptop into the network.
Assuming that works.
And download directly,
Assuming that works. Yeah. All right, on to our next caller, Mike from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello. Yes, am I in the air? How are you?
You are. You're good. How are you?
Good. I have two questions for you guys on two different computers. One of them, I found out they told me it's a virus. When I turn the machine on and get to the Windows, if it's on the internet, the box pop up. It says that the machine will be shut down within 1 minute.
You've got, it says NT/authority?
Yes.
Yeah, you've got a virus.
I got a virus. I ran Norton antivirus, and it didn't do anything. Didn't find it.
Yeah, no. You got
this virus disables Norton antivirus.
It's the MS Blast virus.
Here's what you also need to go to securitytango.com.
Run Stinger, definitely.
Download Stinger.
Yeah, I did run Stinger, but wasn't up to date. I guess I had to download.
They update it all the time. You always need to download a new version.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's what you got. You've got the MS Blast virus.
That's a well-known one. That's what you need to do is
and
to
then
fix
you,
it.
Once you get it out, then you've got to go up to the Microsoft website and get all the patches.
Okay, update the Windows.
Yeah, right.
Okay, now my second question is the one I have at home. I have this search engine as a homepage. When I click on the Internet Explorer, it takes me there. And if I type a different website address, like Yahoo or anything else, the computer freezes, and then the end program shows up. And it keeps doing that. So it seems
same
like
thing.
I can't get on.
Same thing.
Yep.
Same
Dance
thing.
The tango.
But the problems on that one, I can't even get to the website.
Well, again, you're going to have to do what we suggested to Gene, which is on some other machine that has a CD burner, download all the Tango programs and all the updates, burn them all to a CD, and bring them over to your machine.
All right, guys. I'll try that. I'll let
Sorry.
You know. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Yeah.
Good
Seems
luck.
It's going to be very bad news, but that's life in the big city.
You know, unfortunately, you know, I thought about at one point providing a download image of a CD that you could just burn and have all that stuff. But I would spend all my whole life updating it because stuff updates every day.
Adware lately has been updating their data files at least every couple of days.
Yeah. And so, you know, God bless each and every one of you. I just don't have time to do that. So that's why the links are there on securitytango.com. You can get to it and do it yourself. Burn that CD and move it to the next thing. Our next caller, Steve. From Lima, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hey, Nick. It's Steve Good.
Hey, Steve.
Yep. Remember Phil?
Yeah.
I'm working on his computer right now. Major problems with, I don't know if we've made the record. What's the number of...
spyware programs?
Yeah, for Adware and all that.
5,404.
Oh, I'm nowhere close then. He only has 560.
Oh, piker.
Yeah, I got that beat.
Two questions.
Yeah.
I found a program that was starting up on this computer, PowerReg.scheduler.
Oh, yeah.
Get rid of it, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I found out something else was eating up all his memory, Hide Mix Chin.
Hide what?
Hide Mix Chin.
Hide Mix Chin?
Yeah.
Yes, that would be my beard. Get rid of it.
Anyway, that was consuming his memory. I'm not sure if... Adware or Spybot's found that yet, but just wanted to check on that PowerReg thing with you before I go and remove it.
Yeah, well, of course, as always, what you can do is just if it's running in one of the startup programs, you can just move it somewhere else instead.
Yeah, I created a folder called Startup Not.
Yeah, there you go.
I just moved it into that.
There you
That's
go.
That's it.
Perfect.
And then what'll happen is when you run the Security Tango and all the other stuff. If that is a problem, we'll get rid of the file anyway.
Okay.
I mean,
we'll
get rid of the program, and then that little startup thing will be useless.
Yeah, I'm going to be showing Phil how to do the Tango himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Tell him to do it every week at the longest.
Yeah, I try to convince him to do it weekly. I think it may be easier for him to just do it monthly, but I'm trying to get him to do it weekly.
Yeah, all right. Thanks,
okay.
Steve.
Take it easy.
Keep smiling. And tell Phil we said hi. That's man. It seems to be Security Tango Day. Our next caller, Bill, from Pittsburgh, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I listen to you guys just about every week. Although sometimes I end up getting involved in other things and don't get a chance, or you guys get superseded. But I appreciate
Wait, there
your
are other
help.
Things. Thank you.
I have a problem with a Windows 98 machine.
Uh huh.
It keeps saying out of system memory. Now we've got a Norton thing that shows GDI memory has a lot of it left and it seems to just kind of go away. And every time we try, it tries to schedule something like, one of those programs that runs at night, you get a message the next morning out of memory.
Yeah. Here's the deal with that, Bill. When they say they're out of system memory, they don't mean they're out of regular RAM.
Right.
They're out of heap space.
Right.
And
as a matter of fact, I even got a C++ message the other day.
Yep. There's only 64K of it. You can't have more in Windows 98.
Right.
What that is filled with is pointers mostly, and little things like icons. So if you've got a lot of icons on your desktop, they're taking up system memory.
Yeah, we got rid of some, and we got rid of the background picture.
Background picture is good if you've got a lot of windows open on your desktop.
What's running?
If you've got a lot of folders with icons in them.
The taskbar
folders with icons in them on the desktop, you mean?
Right. If they're when you open them, it loads all those icons into system memory.
Oh, but when the folder's open or when it's closed?
Sometimes they don't go away well. That's the other problem with Windows 98 is it wasn't really good about taking things out of the heap once it had put them there.
Okay.
And it is a Windows 98. It's a well-known Windows 98 problem.
Yeah,
which
I sort of knew about it, but I was trying to figure out, is there anything that I can do? Do I have to just reboot a lot, or is
yeah.
the only way to clean it up?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Well, like Nick was saying, though, Windows 98 was well-known for what they call memory leak.
Yeah.
And what would happen is if you started up an application, when you shut it down, theoretically, it was supposed to release all the memory back to the system. And you know, return the free space to the heap.
Yep.
It doesn't do it very well. So we were telling folks, you know, in work environments, at least once a day, say just before you go to lunch, restart your machine. And it alleviated a lot of the lockups and, you know, free.
Right. Now, if you're leaving
else.
It on 24/7, Windows 98 wasn't really ever designed to do that. And so, you know, you want to, let's say you come home at night and you turn the machine on, you leave it on all night or it's been on all night.
Yeah.
When you're ready to quit for the night and go to bed, reboot.
Now, it
I realize the whole point of leaving it on is you don't have to reboot, but you're running Windows 98, get over it. You have to reboot.
It seems to have gotten worse relatively recently. My different versions of the antivirus or stuff
mm-hmm.
like that do it.
Yeah, they're going to change other files, you know, DLL files that were fine, but now they're updating them to... you know, redo the newer program, and things that were working fine that use that same dynamic link library are going to get messed up.
And as time goes on, and Microsoft has, of course, abandoned Windows 98.
Right.
And that means that other companies, like antivirus companies, don't feel obliged to continue to make sure that their DLLs work well with Windows 98.
So they may, in fact, be causing more problems now than they
mm-hmm.
used to.
Yeah.
Okay, so rebooting more often is
at least
the
start.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep Windows 98, that's the thing to do. And I'm sorry, but we have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Nina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco. On News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Go ahead.
Just skimming through the technology news this week. The founder of the World Wide Web, Tim Berners-Lee.
You mean it's not Al Gore?
No, not Al Gore. Was just awarded a $1.2 million prize from the Millennium Technology Prize. For founding the World Wide Web. And basically he's been quoted that if he tried to charge for it, to demand fees, it never would have taken off because no one would have wanted to pay for it. So it's kind of interesting, some of the stories coming out about how he developed the language and put together basically the first web-based server and the web computers and back and forth between the university lab he was working at the time.
Then right. He's to blame for that night that I didn't sleep after you came over.
That's right. Yeah. Poor Dave.
Yeah, for you folks that haven't heard the story already, Nick was doing me a favor. Came down to my shop one time. And
no this, good deed goes unpunished. I'll never be allowed to live this
the
down.
The web, you know, was just getting going, and we were having fun with it. He had all these programs. He brings them over to my shop, and he goes, all right, here, we'll load it on your machine down here. And he showed me the basic stuff. I said, oh, great. I take that disk home. I go home. I load it there. And I get it all set up, and I dial in, and I'm working on it, and I'm working
now,
on it.
Now, let me preface this by saying I had said, you know you're going to get caught by this because I know you.
Yes, you do.
He said, and he said, no, no, I'm not. I said, you want me to call you at, like, 11 o'clock to get off?
I said,
no,
no I'll
not
be
a problem.
So... the following morning, Nick got a phone call from me. And I just turned to him and I said, USOB.
Yeah, and I knew exactly
what
he meant.
Why? What's wrong? I said, I haven't gone to bed yet.
He'd been up all night. Lori came down.
I was there. This is back when we had a wake-up service.
Right.
I was talking to the wake-up service people. Yeah, no, she'll be okay. I'm still up. And this is at 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. She's getting two of them. So I just hung up, and I was already awake. And you know, no, I'm all right. I'll get her up in a few minutes.
Forgot to go to bed
and it's
again.
Like,
Yeah. What are you doing up this early? I've been up all night working on the web.
it wasn't that long ago. Berners-Lee first proposed what became the web in 1989 as a way to develop controls for remotely operating computers at the CERN nuclear lab in Geneva.
Right.
He never got formal approval, but his boss suggested he just tinker with it. And by Christmas Day 1990, he had basically finished the first web browser and web client and called it the World Wide Web.
Right. What's interesting is that they've just done a recent study that talks about compulsive behavior and the web. People who have to be connected all the time. People who can't not be connected. You see, the number one indicator of technology, by the way, of future technology and the way things are going and the way they should work, Japanese schoolgirls. They are more connected than anyone else on Earth. They've got cell phones, text messaging, camera messaging, all this other stuff. And what psychologists are discovering is that there are people who can't not be connected. They get off, they start to shake. I haven't checked my email in a couple hours.
I've got a very good friend.
Do you?
And she's got a serious problem that she's got to be constantly in the chat room.
Oh.
And it's like she'll give up going out and be with other friends. She feels, no, I got to be in there with my real friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, whoa.
It's a serious
it's
problem.
It's called get a life, folks. Right. I mean, you know, the day that
get an analog life.
Synthetic life.
I mean, you got to sit there and feel you got to be in front of that, typing away, talking to those folks versus being around real people. Whoa!
There are people who have that problem.
Yeah.
You know, people are always surprised at me. You don't have a cell phone? Yeah, I do. It's just off most of the time. It's a convenience for me. All right, listen, we're going to go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Gil from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gil. What's your question?
Hi, Nick. Guys, doing a great job.
Thank you.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I listened to all the talk about security and so forth and so on, and I try to keep my systems. I have 4 or 5 systems I keep running at the house. And I guess what I'm really interested in is what's the general ideal setup? I have a hardware router. I run all the antivirus software, and I try to do various sorts of tangos, et cetera. but I still feel like every once in a while one of the machines will pick up something.
It pretty much does. There's always a time delay from a few hours to a few days between the new virus getting written and the antivirus catching up to it.
Right. Here is your best solution. It's something we call Alt OS.
Yeah. Don't run Windows.
Don't run Windows. seriously, you know, the Mac people are just beginning to see viruses. The Linux people are just beginning to see viruses. And if you run them the way they're designed to be run, you have much less chance of messing up your system. You may lose some data in your ID. Like in Linux, you set up separate IDs. Root is the master, but you never run as root, not ever. You run as a user. So that user could lose data, but that user has no effect on the operating system, so they can't really do much. If you're going to continue to run Windows, here's the best you can do. Start with your router. Make sure that's locked down as tight as it can be.
Don't use any of the default addresses or default passwords. Because everyone knows that Linksys router's password is admin, and the name of it is Linksys, so you can break into it pretty easy.
Right. And you need to make sure that, yes, change all of those. Here's the two most important things you need to know about security. The standard is to deny. The exception is to allow. So shut off everything and only open the things you need.
Yeah, because you can put the unique MAC addresses for each one of the machines and his network and say only these folks... Especially if you're running wireless.
Especially.
That only those MAC addresses are allowed on the network.
Right. And we need to take a break, but we'll come back, stay on the phone, and we'll continue to talk about this when we get back, because these are the kind of things that you need to know. Back in just a couple of minutes with Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Attention all licensed
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on
News Radio 1180, WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enner.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We were talking to Gil. Gil, I think the best thing, in addition to the stuff we said, if you're going to stick with Windows, run non-Windows programs for your Internet connections. Download Mozilla or Firefox for your web browser, and then Mozilla or Thunderbird for your or Eudora for your email, and that will save you a whole lot of the headache. Because unfortunately, because Microsoft is the number one vendor, a lot of people target Microsoft products as ways to vector their stuff into the system. So I think that's, you know, not running Microsoft products as much as possible is the thing that protects you most from viruses.
So one question that comes up, I'm about to try all of this, and I figured I'd get your advice before I dive into it, but I log in to work with VPN.
Yeah.
And if I start, really narrowing down the MAC addresses that I accept and so forth, am I going to run into any, are there any landmines I can get into if I start tinkering? I don't want my VPN connection to go down.
Well, the only thing that's there's a question there is what ports your VPN product uses. Make sure those remain open at the router.
Right.
And that's it.
Yep.
And so if I use, I was thinking about, just get your recommendation, I was thinking about using Linux for my email and kind of trying to separate that off onto a separate machine. I've got a tiny machine that can do that.
Sure.
Is that really worth it? Or?
Well, I tell you what, if, particularly if you have a lot of stuff from people you don't know and you tend to open that up, that's going to help a whole lot.
Mostly spam, and I don't open any of it, but
that and web browsing. If you do those two things on the Linux box, you're good.
It'll alleviate a lot of stuff because if these kids
exactly.
they're opening up emails from friends and everything else and then infecting the rest of the network, I mean, this could save them hours of headaches.
That's your thing.
All righty.
Okie doke.
Well, thanks, guys. Keep doing the good job.
Thank you,
Gil. Case in point, my daughter just the other day was working on a little something on the web, and she got this. She had accidentally, I hadn't seen it. She had opened up Internet Explorer, and she got this pop-up message: "Do you want to do this?" And she looked at me and said, "Dad, do I want to do this?" I said, "Click no, honey." And she went over and accidentally clicked yes. So I had to go clean it all up again. But, accidents happen. Stuff happens. You had something to say about keyboards before we went on to the next call.
Yeah, one thing I want to caution folks before we're seeing how the old keyboards, because of the way they were built, they were more or less self-sealed.
Mechanical, too.
Yeah, you could dunk them in water or rinse them off. Nowadays, with the newer keyboards and that, folks, it's not recommended. There are solvents, like we have at our shop at NRIPC, that you can spray, and they're designed to work with the electronics, and it won't short them out.
That's usually cheaper.
So don't try running it in the dishwasher or anything else. Today's keyboards, you will destroy.
And that tip actually came from the lovely and talented Bean Queen. My favorite wife.
At the public market right now.
Stall number 44 at the moment at the public market. She's selling coffee.
I've got my fresh hazelnut.
And dispensing computer and electronics advice. If you marry an engineer's daughter, you get what you get.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, it looks like we've only got about another minute and a third, so we can quickly go to Nick from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Nick. What's your question?
I've been trying to write a website, and I first bought a package called Web Professional by VCon, and it was not really supported. Took it back, got it exchanged nicely. And now bought a package called Web Editor by S.J. Namo.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems very cumbersome to deal with. Can you recommend something that is more user-friendly for someone that's not as skilled as you guys are?
Front Page can be useful. Dreamweaver is terrific.
Well, Front Page is nice for the user, but it generates horrible code.
Right. And Coffee Cup Editor.
Coffee Cup's a good one.
That would probably be your best bet to check out. I think they have a download. You can try it before you buy it. Coffee Cup HTML Editor. Do a web search. It'll take you right to it.
That'll
and Steve's going to put a link on soundbites.org. Okie doke. We are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco, and we will be back next Saturday, probably on a short show on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.